The title of my message today is, Do You Believe This? We've been talking about just how Jesus taught on the kingdom of God. And if you, I really encourage you, if you haven't familiarized yourself, I really encourage you to spend time in the parable that Jesus taught on the sower. Mark 4, Luke 8, I think it's Matthew 13. He's explaining the mystery of the kingdom of God here on earth. And it is just really good to just keep your mind on that. And last week we talked about maturity, spiritual maturity, and what that really is. And I want to kind of continue down that line. So in our goal to be spiritually mature, if we don't have kind of a clue where we're going, it kind of helps if we kind of got a clue where you're going and what it looks like. And then what's your part and what's God's part? So I mean, I got a lot just going on. I'm trying to process here. We're just talking about trees. You planted thousands of trees now. And just that whole process of, you know, a farmstead that plants trees and grows up, and then sometimes, it, you know, as the years go by, whatever reason, that we were just talking how it doesn't always replenish itself. Somebody has to come along and plant new, you know. And then we got trees in our front yard that we laugh about because when we used to play Frisbee there, some of the young people would run and run right over them and flip over them, you know. They're only about this. And now they're 20 feet tall. Nobody's going to run over it anymore. It's just, if you live long enough, you get to see the fruit of maturity of what you planted. And so it is in our spiritual realm that Jesus said, this is the way the kingdom works. It's just the same as a seed going into the ground is the word going into your heart. And then it grows. So what's our part? Well, one, the word of God has to conceive in your heart. This is big. We've talked about it. It won't take a lot of time. But boy, it's not about intellectually finding out who God is and intellectually knowing all the scriptural things and et cetera. That's a good part of what we do, but the real part of the kingdom is when the Word of God actually conceives in your heart and starts growing. And our part is to let that take place and to believe that, and that's how it conceives is by saying, I agree with this, I believe this. The other thing is to, you know, that is really important is that you acknowledge what's going on. Philemon 1:6 just says, you know, the fellowship of our faith increases as we acknowledge those things freely given to us. That sounds simple. It sounds, you know, and really it is. It's just, actually, it is so simple. As Dave DeWell used to say, it's so simple you have to have help to screw it up. And there are plenty that will help you. Okay? It is, you know, and sitting here as we're singing, I'm going to throw it out before I forget it. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says it's difficult, but not too difficult. You know, we talk ourselves in to so many things. And that's what faith is. It's what you're persuaded about. But if you're persuaded everything is hard, guess what? It's hard. It's hard. But if you're persuaded it's a little difficult, but not bad, guess what? It's a little difficult, but not bad. How many of you forget it. You're all that way. You all get irritated with people close to you. Sooner or later, right? Okay. And so this morning there was a situation in our closet that wanted to irritate me. Okay. Clothes hung in the wrong place. Okay. And not put away. And I walked in there and I just go, but Lisa and I, we've had just a great week. I'm feeling really good. She's feeling really good. We've had a lot of fun in the garden. It's good. And I thought, and I go, it's not that big a deal. Move it over, John. Get your belt and then put it back on. It's not that big of a deal. But if you magnify that, it will be a big deal. big enough deal for people to separate, to divorce. You say, why did they? Because you got hard-hearted, Jesus said. So acknowledging what God has done in your life and what's growing is important. The other thing is to water it. How awesome is it to see the rain and know that things are going to really start growing again? We're back to mowing. Hallelujah. And a part of your job is also to renew it. You renew your mind, to water and to weed. Now, I'm planting the garden. I'm really enjoying the garden right now. And I was thinking about it. I planted a few seeds. I could almost count them. You know, I mean, there's more than I want to count. But I can tell you, I've been pulling thousands of weeds. I mean, these little things, I don't know where they come from, but they're just coming up in bunches, you know. And as we talked about last week, it's a lot easier to pull them when they're little than when they're big. But I thought about that with the thing. Is walking in the power of God, walking in the joy of the kingdom, you just need a few seeds planted in your heart, let them grow, and let them just start growing. Be patient. It takes a while to grow a tree, but it will, and it will produce fruit. But in the meantime, you've got a lot of work just to weed out the weeds. And we talked about that last week, and I really encourage you, if you haven't heard that message, go back, because it's powerful too. That we have weapons to destroy the wrong thoughts in systems in our heart and mind. And we need, I mean, it's a real enemy. I'll tell you, when your enemy is serious and you're not, it's a little bit of a problem. Because, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. You got an enemy. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to mess up your life. You're a mark. Don't get too focused on it, but man, he is your enemy. And he is working in your thoughts, and you do have weaponry to take him out. Don't be kind. Okay? I don't know. I was hesitant to say this, but I'm redeemed. You know what that means? I belong to him. Blast, I belong to him. And he said he'd take care of me, and he said he wants to bless me, and I got an enemy that wants me not to belong to him. And wants me to forget that I'm redeemed, and forget that I got the power of God in me, and greater is he that is in me. And so last night we had this thing, you know, the rain came, and man, it was nice to hear that. Gosh, I just love it. I'm if it keeps up all year, we'll get tired of it maybe, but boy, right now it was great. And it just lightened up enough, and I've been trying to wash off my concrete and all the mag out of my garage, and I thought this would be a good time. Just a light or a little rain coming down. I got fired up the high-pressure sprayer and got out there and trying to get all that nasty stuff off my cement, and all of a sudden the lightning goes boom, and I said, this is a great place to be. And I thought, and you know, thoughts, right? John, what if you get hit by lightning? What are everybody going to think about you being an idiot out there in the rain? And then lightning flashed again, and I felt a little buzz, you know. And I go, I belong to him. Now, you might not want to do this. I'm not saying it's a wisdom thing. I'm just saying that I just took an opportunity to just say, blessed I'm not made. I belong to God, dear God. I've been redeemed. There ain't no lightning going to take me out. If it does, I'll apologize when we get to heaven. I'll tell you, man, I missed it. But in the meantime, it's like, man, I'm not yielding. Like I said, you do what you want with that. I thought it was fun. And part of your job is to have joy and peace, okay? What is not your job? Your job is not to pray hard. Praying hard is, depending on how you define it. So often what people say, I'm just really praying hard about this. What you're doing, I don't know. Okay, I don't know your heart. But what I've seen and observed in my own life is sometimes when I'm praying really hard, it means I'm in doubt. I'm in disbelief. I'm panicking. I'm in fear. And I'm pretty tense, and I'm really serious. I'm going to take God to tell God how serious I am. But the truth is, a lot of times that's just fearful. And your job is not, when the kingdom of God gets, when the word gets planted in your heart, you know, it's like, it's like planting a garden. How many of you have an issue sometimes after you plan to go out there the next day and look and see how it's doing? And the next day, look at how see how it's doing. And then, and the next, you know, and then, oh, you know, and it's just like, And sometimes I see a little bean trying to make it. I think, I need to help you. I take that clump of dirt right off there, you know. And it's like, you know, as a kid, my mom would plant the garden, but I, we'd plant watermelon together. She let me help her, you know. I remember that. Now I think back on how I thought I was really helping my mom. And here she was just letting me experience it because I wasn't that great a help. In fact, with a watermelon, I can't tell you how many of them I destroyed by looking at them too much and plucking on them and pulling on them and saying, come on, grow a little faster. And literally pulled the roots right out. Same with you with the kingdom of God. Plant it, water it, acknowledge it, stay in joy, stay in peace, and let the process take place. Stop panicking. Stop looking at it day and night, evaluating it, wondering if it's going to work. It's going to work. So another thing, what you're not supposed to do is look for man's approval. Don't worry about what people think of you. Don't worry about how you're looking to, and don't force by trying to plead or beg or whatever. Just have faith. Well, Jesus said this, when the seed is planted, here's some situations that can happen. Number one, it can be stolen right away by a bird or by Satan. The moment you hear good news, if you don't attach yourself to it, if you don't grab a hold of that and make it yours and say, that's a word for me, that's mine, I'm going to let that conceive in my heart. If you don't, you can just let it, you know, it's just gone. You don't even remember it. And many times, for all of us, it's not just about being born again, it's about your whole walk in the kingdom. Many times you hear a word and you go, boy, I think that's a word for me. And don't let it slip away. Don't just let it be stolen away. And then there's the other one that it starts growing and you think, man, this is good. I really feel like God spoke to me there. This is good. I got hope. And then the Bible says that persecution or afflictions come because of the word, you know. And some people say, man, I got saved, or I got this word from the Lord, but then it just, everything collapsed. It's almost like I declared I was healed, and then I got really sick. And it's like that's the enemy coming for the word. He wants the seed out of your heart. He wants it out of your heart. Don't take it personally. But understand, you don't have to give it up. He can't take it without your permission. You have to let it go. And then the other one is where it grows bigger and it gums up and is ready to produce a fruit, but the worries and the desires and the busyness of life. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I see them. I haven't seen them for 20, 30 years. I said, how's it going? I said, pretty good right now, but I was about 10 years in there. That I just got so busy with life. We had kids, we got busy, and all of a sudden it just started starving us out. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves in a wreck. And we've changed now. We're coming back. We're starting to get strong with the Lord again. And I thought, wow, you don't have to let that happen. Here's one of the things. When you sincerely believe in the process, and your confidence is there, it's a little difficult, but not much. People say, I don't know how to garden. Put a seed in the ground, water it, pull the weeds. It's not rocket science. Just consistent and believe. It's with the word of God. Be patient. But stay tending your garden. I do admit, I go down there every day, pull out weeds, you know, check things out, but it does the growing. And here's the thing about the kingdom of God and the word of God in your heart. It's really so easy. It's just crazy how easy it is. How many of you know all the scientific reasons why a seed puts its roots down and its blade up? No, no hands? You guys in biology yet? Huh? No? Oh, it's the coolest stuff in the world. How many of you know why when the snap peas start growing that they put out these little things and they wrap around? How many of you know how they wrap around? There's reasons, isn't there? There's reasons why a plant grows towards the sun. Scientific. How the sun hits part of it, changes molecular part of it to one side grows faster than the other one. It's amazing. How many of you know the scientific reason why carrots taste like carrots and jalapenos don't? And the process of why they're hot. And where the color comes from. It's a mystery. But we understand more about it all the time. And we're starting to manipulate things. But here's what I'm trying to say is, if you don't know anything about that, that radish will still grow. That cucumber will still go. It'll still produce. And I'm saying there are people that are trying to enter into God's relationship with God only through the intellect, trying to find out all the reasons and all the little details, and they're all there, and they're all important, and they're all good. But let me tell you something. It is so simple that if you just be like a farmer, plant the seed, water it, and just get up and go to bed and enjoy your life, it will produce a harvest. It will mature. And, man, it is cool. And the strawberries are exquisite this year. And the mice in my garden think so also. So I'm going to read you a scripture. 1 John 3 says this. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared yet as what we will be. But we know this, that when he appears, we'll be like him. Because we will see him just as he is. Won't go into it, but it's awesome. When the more you see who Jesus is, the more you know who you are, and you become that. Going on. And everyone who has this hope, what hope? And everyone who has this hope fixed on him, what hope? This hope that when we see him, we'll be like him. This hope that, why? Because the seed that went into us is not a cucumber, because a cucumber produces a cucumber. The seed that went into us is God. What is it going to produce? God produces himself. And those who have their hope fixed on this purifies himself, just as he, God, is pure. Now, there's a friend of mine, his name was Lloyd Weed. He was a minister of the gospel, he and his brothers. They're Assembly of God people, and he came. My grandmother was dying. They'd cut her intestines in a surgery, and they put her down in the basement. She's screaming and yelling. Anyway, he got there in a blizzard and prayed for her, and she was instantly healed. Hallelujah. He was with a Lutheran pastor, by the way. In fact, he led the Lutheran pastor into the baptism. The Lutheran pastor spoke in tongues. After all those years serving God, he found out who the Holy Spirit was. And he was so fired up, and so he said, Lloyd, let's go to the hospitals and empty them. And he said, it's a blizzard. He's over there in Belfouche. He said, it's a blizzard. I think we had to maybe wade. And he said, no, the power of God's on us. We can, blizzard's nothing. Anyway, he said they took off in a blizzard, got to Deadwood, and a nurse says, we got a woman dying here. And it was my grandmother, and he prayed for her. And that Lutheran pastor's on fire, and they got healed. He's a good friend of mine, our family. He then led my grandfather, who was a notorious sinner, to the Lord before he died. Lloyd Weed's kind of tender to me, mentor. And he read this verse to me once, and he says, as a young man, I got saved, but I was still living a real carnal life. And he says, I heard somebody preach that Jesus was coming back, and he said, and he said, it impacted my heart so much that he said, I wanted to be with Jesus. I wanted to rule and reign with him. That's what he was talking about. He said, I want to rule and reign with him. And he said, so I took my cigarettes, went behind the outhouse, threw them away, and never smoked again. I remember the story. It had an impact on me. And now it has a different impact on me. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Cleaned up your act. But now I look at it and I go, that's not what that's talking about. It's his testimony. It's good. It's okay. Saved his life. He lived a longer time because of it. But that's not what that's talking about. Purifying yourself is not talking about getting rid of all your little vices and all your problems and your cussing and all your other sins. That's not what it's talking about. And here's the problem. When you think that's what it's talking about, then you think you did it. But if that's not what it's talking about, and you do that, and then you won't do what it was talking about because you think you did it. So all those people trying to get out of smoke, and that was just his example, out of this, out of that, out of that, out of this, and they're evaluating their life, and they go, oh, I'm not as confident as I should be because I still got this problem, I still got this vice, I still do this wrong thing, and then you're focusing on that, then you're actually then trying to pull on the plan, get it to grow faster, but you miss the whole point. The whole point is that doesn't mean nothing, really, except that you might live longer. The word of God is in your heart to produce what? Itself. Let's read on. Remember, he said, those who have their hope fixed on this, purify themselves just as he is pure. Matthew 5:43, he goes this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, this is Jesus, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Remember, sons look like dads. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. My neighbor's really been messing up, and by the way, he didn't get any rain. No, I lied. He got the rain, so did I. And I don't think my neighbor's messing up, so I just thought I'd throw that. For if you love those who love you, what reward is that? What reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's a guy who came into our church in the Quaker church, your relative. Who was it? Had the tattoos on his arm. Oh, it wasn't your relative. Sorry. You're clear. Oh, well. Marty, you'll think about it here in a little bit and tell me. But I'll get his name here in a little bit. He got saved. He was in the Navy. He had tattoos on his arm. So whenever he preached, he had a shirt on because he didn't want anybody to see his tattoos. Well, actually, they were naked women, and finally got some clothes put on them with ink. I remember he came and he preached, and he read this verse, and he said, you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He said, what does that mean? And I remember sitting there as a teenage boy, yeah, what does that mean? How in the world are we supposed to be perfect and blameless like God is blameless? You know, and so a lot of my life I've looked at this. Here's the interesting thing for those who've been following me for a while. The word perfect here is teleos, maturity. That takes a seed all the way through its growth process until it reproduces itself. That's called teleos. And he's saying you're to be teleos just like your father's teleos. It's not about smoking. It's not about all the little quirks you got and the wrong things you do, man, even the big ones. You didn't get saved because you quit doing all this stuff. You got saved because the word of God came into your heart. And it's a distraction to the process when you don't understand the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of the kingdom. And what is the mystery of the kingdom? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the seed, the word of God in your heart. That's the mystery. And it's just like a seed. It's mysterious as all get out. How it knows what to do. It knows when to do it. It knows when to pollinate. It knows when to do everything. It knows how to. It knows it all. And it's in this itty bitty thing. And all it needs is dirt. I've eaten dirt. Have you? I got to tell you guys this. They don't want to even know. one of my friends came out to the farm when you was, you know, what are you, 16, 17? Yeah, I just did a funeral for him, his sister. He came out to help me. And we had sheep, and we had a lot of sheep. And it was coming out of winter, and it was starting to thaw, and so there was ice underneath the sheep's stuff. Okay? So is this a pool of, I guess we call it manure, right? We called it something else then. But no, we didn't. Didn't cuss around my dad. Anyway, I told my friend Dan, I said, hey, catch that lamb right there. Oh, it was so funny. Big boy. Big football player. I'll get that lamb. Went down, slipped on the ice, right in a big pile. His whole face was just car. He was dripping in stuff. But I'll never forget what he said. Tastes like dirt. I've eaten dirt, you've eaten dirt. Have you ever eaten hot dirt? Spicy dirt? How in the world do you plant a jalapeno pepper and it knows what to do, it gets in the dirt, comes up, and has this incredible burning sensation on your throat? It's a mystery, but it works very easily. You don't have to pray over it. You don't have to yell over it. You just got to plant it and let it grow. And he's just saying, he said, listen, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be mature. What's that mean? Let the process of the Word of God come in your heart and let it work. It's going to produce. If people say, I'm just afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid my life is going to. Listen, you could mess it up, but you're only mess it up if you're going to try too hard. Just stop that and have faith in the process. And enjoy your day as like a farmer getting up and going to bed, and enjoy your day as the process takes place. But it is, I tell young people all the time when I meet them, especially Bible school students, because they're so afraid they're going to mess up. They've been hearing all this stuff, you don't miss God, don't miss God. And it's like, it's not that hard. It's just believe it. And you'll be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. That process will take over, and you'll become more and more. And then when we finally do get to see him face to face, boom, a whole bunch of that's going to hit us. But we can get it right now by just looking at him and seeing who he is. And it says here, notice that he's talking about us loving people, enemies and dislikable people, when he comes down to this statement, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. He's tying it together. It's not about not cussing. It's not whatever sin you want to make up. 1 John 4 says this, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed that the one we've come. Slow down, John. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. See, this all starts with just believing that God loves you. Just believing it. God is love. What is he? So if he gets in you, what are you going to be? What's teleos for you and me? Love. Love. What's love? Agape. What's agape? It's a choice that we make to respect somebody. Well, you want to. You can try to love your enemy and deliberately grit your teeth and say, okay, God, I'll love him, even though he drives me crazy. Or you can let the process happen and just say, my God, he's my brother. Why in the world? I mean, all of a sudden it just starts. You're not forcing it. It's growing. You got to harvest. All of a sudden you love people. All of a sudden, you're not trying to get joy. You are joyful. Why? Because it's working. It's working. Where was I? God is love. Don't ever forget that. And the one who abides in the love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected, teleos, with us, so that we may have the confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear, say no fear, in love. You dealing with fear? Plant love. Choke out the fear. I'm on the back 40 of our property. We're irrigating. I got filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, on fire. But anyway, I was up out here, and we got a lot of trees up there on this hillside, and they're all been snapped off by lightning. I mean, remember that? And I was up there, and we got this irrigation pipe, and I'm opening and sliding up gates to irrigate the corn, and this thunderstorm comes over, and lightning starts, boom! And I mean, it's booming, man. It's striking those trees, and I'm sitting there standing in water on an aluminum pipe and thinking, And if I hadn't been on a hill and hadn't been with all those trees already struck, I probably wouldn't have bothered me. I got this thing with lightning. And and I just said, no fear here or whatever. And all of a sudden, poo-wang, the tree right behind me got snapped off a branch. And I said, well, I'm not going to finish this set. I'm going to head home. Jumped on my motorcycle. And that spirit of fear tried to get on me. And, man, I got mad. I got angry. I said, no, I belong to God. And I start. By the time I got down to the farm, I was yelling in tongues. And I won't do it here because it's loud. But I was yelling in tongues. Man, I'm telling you, I was just fired up. It's like, hit me if you want to. I ain't dying anyway. Oh, man, it just blew up inside of me. And now I'm not yelling out of fear. I'm yelling out of just pure joy. I'm standing on my little 80 Yamaha, and I'm just coming into the yard. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's my dad. And he must have thought I was dying or something. I don't know what he thought. But I calmed down, but I thought, man, perfect love cast out fear. You got fear in your life? Dwell. Water. Look at it. Get vicious about it. That he loves you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, teleos love. Teleos love. Mature love cast out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Point there. Okay, let me finish up here. James 4 says this: submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. By the way, don't forget, don't ask God to resist the devil for you. It's your job. Don't ask God to take evil thoughts away from you. You do it. Just do it. Just say, I ain't putting up with that. That lightning struck last night, and I go, I ain't putting up with this. I ain't putting up with that fear thought. Now, I'm not saying it's not wisdom to go in the house. Okay? But sometimes I'd rather just go through the learning process and get mean about it than just go to the house. That's me. Don't do that. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts. Remember what I said? Purify. Those who have this hope, purify themselves. How do you purify? He's talking about not purifying your behaviors. He's talking about purifying your hearts. What's your heart? It's what you think about, what you meditate on, what you're thinking about. And he said, you double-minded people. So when you got many things going on, faith and fear, you're double-minded. And James goes on to say, don't expect anything from God. By the way, you're going to get a lot from God even when you're in doubt. Amen. He reigns on everybody. He's trying to help you. But in your own mind, what really sets you up to have a flow of God in your life is when you stop being double-minded. A lot of people say, boy, you got to have great faith. No, you don't have to have great faith. No, oh, you got, boy, John, you got great faith. No, I got, you know what I got? I got a little bitty seed. called a mustard seed. That's all you need. A mustard seed, a little. Jesus said just a little, the one of the little seeds in the whole world grows up to a tree about 10 feet tall. Why? He's just trying to say, don't get this idea that you got to become some big faith person. No, you just need a little seed. It grows. It produces. It's not that hard. But he also did say, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. You can't have a little. When he's on the boat, the storm came. They wake him up. They're scared. He goes, oh, ye of little faith. Peter says, you know, then Jesus walks on the water. Peter comes. He starts walking. And here's the cool thing. Peter walked on the water. He walked on the water until he looked. By the way, wind and all that have nothing to do with walking on water. He sinks, and Jesus said, ye of little faith. About five times Jesus said things to people about being having little faith. So, yeah, you know what I think? I think little faith is just when your seed of a mustard seed is choked out by fear, worry, anxiety. If you got fear, worry in your life, don't play games with it. Don't act like it's normal. Don't think that everybody has it. If you're a child of God, you have the authority to resist that, and you have the authority to walk in love and say, I'm done with this fear. How many of you would like to be free from fear? It is an awesome thing to be free from fear. Okay. Matthew 12 says this. They did not understand that he said to them, beware of the leaven of bread, he was not talking about leavened bread. He was talking about the teachings of the Pharisees. Thoughts, ideas that come in, they're like weeds to your heart. They can do a lot of damage. They can't kill your crop, but they can keep it from maturing. Don't treat it lightly. Pull the big guns out and get rid of it. And then last, I'm going to read John 11. It says this. Jesus said to Mary, your brother will rise again. To Martha. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Remember what he said? When you see him, you'll be like him. When you see Jesus as the resurrection, what are you going to be? Just like him. Resurrected. Full of life. I once was dead. Now I'm alive. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. You know, we talk about Martha being the one that got choked out, being the servant all the time. You know, serving when Mary was at his feet. But you realize she came to a point right here and he said, do you believe this? And she said, I do. You know, from that point on, if you read Mary, you'll find out that she was full of faith. That grew in her. Boy, she had a repentance, a turnaround. Now the question is for you and I, do you believe this? Do you believe you're a child of God today? Do you believe that Jesus actually did die for you? And the answer is, now you're on easy street. Let the process take place. Acknowledge that you believe in him. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I take the place right now, and I'm just speaking what you placed in my heart, but I curse cancer. It has no place in this body. all sickness and diseases were laid upon you on the cross, and by your stripes that you took on your back, you took every bit of our infirmity. You took our sins away, and so it's purifying ourselves now is not about not cussing and not sinning. I'm not messing up. Purifying ourselves now is you got the pure word coming in without any doubt, just believing. And Father, I just acknowledge that it doesn't take a lot of faith when you're believing in truth. It takes a lot of faith when you believe in a lie. You got to keep convincing yourself. But Father, it's easy for us. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not even my faith. It's his faith inside of me, working its way through. Glory to God. But we acknowledge it now. We water it now. We destroy the weeds. We pull them out. And glory to God, we're just letting it flourish in our life. And Father, we just acknowledge that we are believers. Now let's say it together. I'm a believer. 1, 2, 3. I'm a believer. And therefore, we are victorious. I command fear to be gone in Jesus' name. I release the love of God into the hearts of the people right here, Lord, to flourish and grow up into teleos, pure maturity. And we give you all the praise. Now listen to me. Look at me for a moment. Paul said this. He said, may you live a peaceful, quiet life. Pray that you live a peaceful, quiet life. Most of us in here are doing that right now. What's our impact in the world? This I want you to know. We don't have to just, I mean, I'm going all around the world and the others will go with me. But I tell you, the truth is, when you and I walk in this maturity, there is a power that comes out of us that affects everything around us. And we don't see this in the natural realm. We see it in the unseen realm. But may I tell you, the power that's coming out of a body like ours that is in love with one another, in love with the world, loving the world and doing, man, there is just bukus of stuff taking place because of us. Don't doubt your importance. And enjoy this. Enjoy it and laugh a lot. Amen. Bye.